mamina baba yetu yetu liye kunjina lako ele tukuzwe
baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu mamina baba yetu yetu liye kunjina lako ele tukuzwe
tunapelea chakula chetu tunachohitaji utusamehe makosa yetu.
Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod episode 12. This week I'm joined, as always, like we'd get anybody else on this show, Gunsage.
Hello.
And Patrick.
Hello.
Episode 12.
Gunsage, start with what we've been playing this week.
Well, I think I mentioned last time, but I don't remember that I was playing Darksiders.
No, you didn't get to that one. You didn't have that one yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I only rented it for a couple of days. It's pretty fun. Really reminds me of basically what's already been said. It's God of War plus Zelda. I like it. It's actually pretty good. It was actually pretty inventive. Just, it does get a little repetitive at times is the only thing that I found, but beyond that, whatever. It was still really fun to play through. What else? Obviously the new Microsoft Game Room, which is really fun, and I'm rabidly spending money on arcade titles and shit, but played a little more Final Fantasy 13, and not a whole lot else, really.
Cool. Patrick?
Well, I also downloaded Game Room, that's what it's called, I think, for the Xbox 360 there last night. And, yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, for those of you who don't know what this is, it's, basically a virtual arcade, I don't know, world, really, for your avatars. It's a three-story building filled with all sorts of arcade rooms and all sorts of games that your avatar can explore and play. You can even have your friends' avatars playing games and walking around the place. I saw you guys walking around the virtual arcade there last night and a couple other people. I've yet to purchase any games myself. I've just been playing some of the free demos that you can play there. But I'm looking at Asteroids maybe as my first purchase. There aren't a lot of games, but I mean, like I said, it just came out yesterday. So there's also the classic consoles like Intellivision and Atari that are there. So that's kind of neat. Kind of like a little virtual console. I hope they release more games quickly, not like the virtual console on the Wii that has, like, what, two games a month that comes out or something like that. But, yeah, I'd like to play some of the classics. I hope they get that Star Wars Vector graphics game in there. I love that game. I'd buy that the moment I saw it. The price for the game's reasonable, I guess. I mean, it might be a little bit high for what you get, but they're not bad. I mean, when I see a game I want, the price won't be a problem. I'll download it right away. However, the price is high enough that I won't be impulse buying many titles that I don't either remember or I don't love. But that's pretty cool. I like the Game Room. I've also been playing a little bit of more Perfect Dark, like I was talking about last week. I've pretty much gotten used to the controls finally, and, you know, I figured out that the aim button should only really be used for the lock-on target system of certain weapons and not used with the left stick as an aiming device. I mean, especially with the sniper rifle, which is terrible. But, I mean, that makes sense because the N64 controller didn't have two sticks, so I was trying to control it like it had two sticks. And it didn't work out, so I played a few rounds of the golden maps and the golden weapons online, i.e. GoldenEye levels, and that was pretty cool. I like the maps a little more than the Perfect Dark maps. We tried Gunsage, remember we tried to play online there last week? But we couldn't figure out how to play together, or how to play with other people, just with a bunch of bots. Did you ever figure out Gunsage, or do you think that's just the way the game mode is?
Well, I didn't really see enough people on in a given time to really test it out well, is the only problem. So, yeah. I don't know.
I it's weird because I thought you should just be able to, like any other game, join in progress, but it seemed like if you want to play online multiplayer, it's only with your friends and then bots, which is a bit strange because you could play with anyone you want randomly online, but yeah. Aside from that, what have I been playing? A little more Battlefield Bad Company 2 with you, Bruce, and iPinch and El Mexicano, and yep, that's about it, really.
Let's see. More Battlefield Bad Company, obviously, more Perfect Dark, although I have taught myself how to use that secondary aim with the left stick. I'm not great with it, but I'm good enough. Let's see, got the Game Room. I think the game prices are okay. Like Patrick said, if it's a game you remember, and know you're going to play more than twice. I'm actually impressed with what Microsoft did. They had a little problem first day out where it wouldn't load. They got that fixed pretty quick. I expected it to be very gimmicky and not much substance and just kind of try and take a little chunk out of Sony's home and Nintendo's virtual console. And they actually have done a pretty good job with it. As long as the games keep coming and rotating, I think it'll be okay. I'd like to see Midway and ColecoVision get some love there if they can get a hold of the license rights. Other than that, you know, it's pretty interesting so far. I bought 3 or 4 games, so Microsoft's got some points on me, which I'm pretty tight ass about that. So that's impressive. And then this afternoon, I installed Civilization 4, running through it again just for shits and grins because it's a good little time waster. And I actually didn't play it a lot on the first playthrough. It got a little boring, but so I'm giving it another shot. Other than that, not much. Basically what these guys have been doing. I haven't tried Perfect Dark Online, it's just not something so far that's like excited me to go try it online. I'm having plenty of fun with it single player. So, and that's what we've been playing. Patrick, you said you had a little feedback from one of our listeners. Why don't you go ahead and give that now?
Okay. One of our faithful listeners there who goes by the name of iPinch on Xbox Live. He's listened to every single episode and he enjoys the podcast quite much. He said last episode, which would be episode 11, was the best, I quote, best episode yet. So he enjoyed it, and I just thought I'd pass that along. He also said he liked it because it was an episode in which we said the word fuck much less than we usually do.
Oh, fuck that fucking shit.
Pretty fucking much.
What the fuck? Anyways.
How fucking ridiculous can you get?
Fuck fucking fuck. No.
fuck. iPinch is never going to speak to us again. No, actually, it's funny because when we got done recording it and I started listening back to it and editing it, I felt the same way he did. It had the simplest flow. It was the simplest to edit. I was cracking up trying to get Gunsage just loud enough to hear him in the background hollering at his wife. Because, you know, he's off mic, so you can't raise the level too much.
Yeah.
Normally, I don't listen back to the whole show, but I did listen to the segment with Mrs. Gunsage over again in its entirety, and I thought it was actually better with Gunsage trying to defend himself off microphone and kind of quieter than everybody else. It's definitely, I think right now it's my favorite episode. As to the lack of the F word, you know, it's funny when we're doing it, I don't think about how many times we're cussing, and I've never really particularly given much of a shit about whether we're cussing or not. You have a small segment of the gamer population now that's, well, it's just piss poor writing and recording if you're cussing. Well, no, not if you're pissed off about something. I don't think so. But when I listen back, sometimes I'll hear like a segment or two where, yeah, we're going at it pretty good. I go, what are you going to do? I mean, that's just, it happens instantaneously, and unless something's too off topic or too garbled, it's getting left in. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, iPinch. I can make no promises on whether or not we'll control the F word from this point forward. Anything you'd like to say to Mr. Pinch, seriously, Gunsage, or was that pretty much it for you?
If I started being serious now, it would throw the whole show off.
Yeah, I doubt it. But okay, we'll leave it at that. So thank you, Mr. Pinch. I'd give you shit about not sending an email, but since you see one of our co-hosts face to face daily and have to tolerate him at the office, I'll let it slide. Okay, for this week's discussion topic, gentlemen, I asked you what defines a hardcore gamer and a casual gamer for you. First off, Gunsage, why don't you tell us what you think about that question?
Well, a hardcore gamer, to me, it can be one of two things. It can be either a gamer that has just been a gamer for a very long time, and therefore people assume that he's hardcore, or it can be someone who plays something obsessive. To me, I don't know. I mean, I used to think I was a hardcore gamer, and then I see all these speed runs out there, and I'm like, yeah, no. I don't care how much I love, say, Zelda 64. You're not going to see me going ahead and going, all right, so this is how I go ahead and get here as quickly as possible, and I need to go ahead and do this. It's not going to happen. I love the game. I could play it 3 times over in a day, probably, but I'm not going to do it to that extent. You know, I just play the games to have fun. I mean, it's fun to get achievements too, but again, I play the games mostly just to have fun. As far as a casual gamer, I mean, a lot of people put a negative connotation on that, trying to say, oh, well, you know, these guys, They're not real gamers. Da, da, da. Okay. Well, I can certainly see that aspect. But, for example, my wife... She likes to play a bunch of different Facebook games. I wouldn't really call her a gamer. She doesn't really get into the same talks and discussions and topics and everything that I do, but she still enjoys a good game from time to time. It just, you know, it depends on what it is. She doesn't get into the hardcore stuff. Really, Disgaea is the only game I can think of that she would play religiously. So I wouldn't call them non-gamers so much as just they're trying to tap that market too in hopes that eventually they'll become more like the hardcore gamers in that, oh, I'm going to go ahead and have a collection of 100 so games because I worked my way up from these easier games.
Okay. Patrick, same question.
This is actually, you know, you would think it's pretty black and white, what's a casual gamer, what's a hardcore gamer, but it's a pretty hard question, really, because, I mean, so many different people have so many different opinions about it, you know? So Nintendo really opened up and expanded the gaming market, this current generation with the Wii, you know? A massive amount of new people are different people are now playing games and having fun doing so and that were just not interested in them last generation. They would have never played GameCube, you know? This is due mostly to the Wiimote and its motion, or shall I say waggle controls, and also a lot of very good marketing, really, on Nintendo's behalf. You know, many gamers that have been around a lot longer, they're almost bitter towards this new group of gamers, you know? And I really think this is where the label of casual gamer, you know, has really came from or really stood out lately. You know, it's, they say they're not real gamers because they're not hardcore, right? But, you know, these people don't really define for me what a casual gamer is, you know? Casual gamer for me is not necessarily someone who plays kiddie games or only puzzle games on the PC or Facebook like Gunsage was talking about, or crappy party games with grandma on the Wii. You know, for me, a casual gamer is someone who plays any type of game, but also has many other hobbies that come before gaming. You know, maybe it's sports or working on their car or TV, whatever, right? Knitting, it doesn't really matter. They play video games, they enjoy video games, but they don't play every day. They're not obsessive about it. You know, they don't go to forums. They don't go to blogs. They would never have to finish a game, you know? So you don't have to be an old school, you know, first person shooter or Xbox 360 guy to be considered hardcore. You know, it's not the type of game that you play. It's really, you know, whether or not you play it a lot, whether you go to the blog, stuff like that, you know? The amount of time you spend enjoying the game compared to other activities and in your life, I think, really defines whether you're hardcore or whether you're casual.
Okay, and this is just a quick, I mean, yes or no type thing, but second part to this, does those terms or people that may fill those terms really matter to you either way? Do you care? Gunsage.
No. If I can kick your ass and you're a hardcore gamer, if I can kick your ass and you're a casual gamer, I really don't give a fuck. Just don't whine.
Patrick, same thing.
No, I mean, it doesn't really matter what you call yourself. And, you know, that's just it. Some people will say you're a casual gamer if you play Mario, and other people will say you're a hardcore gamer if you play Mario, you know? So it doesn't matter what they call you, you know, if you're casual, if you're hardcore, if you're something in between. I guess I would be called a hardcore gamer. I mean, I'm taking place in a friggin' podcast, for God's sake, but, you know, I play pretty much every day, often online. I look at video game sites, I read the news, etc., etc. You know, on the other hand, I play Peggle 1 versus 100 and Pac-Man, you know. For me, I don't care. I mean, the more people enjoying video games, the better. I don't think we need to try to have this line between them and us, between the so-called casual and the so-called hardcore. I mean, if you're playing games and enjoying games, who cares?
Okay, the reason I brought up this discussion was I'm getting annoyed by the terminology, first off. And what really kind of pushed it to the front of my mind was I saw a couple quizzes. Take a quiz to determine if you're a hardcore or casual gamer. Oh, the one that I saw that really pissed me off the most was on Twitter, and sadly I didn't save the link, where it was this giant picture of all these game characters. And we've discussed my various and sundry head injuries before. The most recent ones, like, I could pick out. But there was a bunch of older ones I knew I'd played, but I couldn't tell you what the hell it's the character's name was, and I'm like, so does this mean I'm a casual gamer? Oh my god. You know, here's what it is to me. Patrick said it with the end of his thing. If you love video games and enjoy playing them, whether it's all the time or whether it's split between other hobbies, you're a gamer. These fucking terms drive me nuts, and they're ridiculous. Only reason hardcore and casual gamer has become part of the lexicon is so people can feel better about themselves. You got these fuck sticks who have no lives and don't do anything but play video games, and they want to call themselves, I'm hardcore. Now, go fuck yourself. I don't really care. If you enjoy video games, whether it's Facebook games, puzzle games, shooters, RPGs, whatever, you're a gamer. There should be no fucking categories and lines. It's just another way to divide people. It's ridiculous, and I'm sick of it, you know.
Well, here's what I want to know. So, if a gaming journalist only reviews casual games, is he a business casual gamer?
That's, yeah, see, you're making my point. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's really so that these fucking little shithead Twitch gamers, oh man, my kill death ratio is 70-1 on fucking FPS number 9. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I stomp a mud hole in your ass 4 times in a round. Guess what, Sparky?
Well, it's that, and also there's one guy on my list. I'm not going to say he's a gamer dick because he's actually a good kid. Literally a kid. He just had a birthday and he turned 11. I didn't know he was 11. I thought, oh, okay, he's probably just a
kid. Yeah, yeah. Start defending yourself now. Shut up.
Well, I thought he was just like a you know, high-pitched voice teenager or some shit. And so I was like, well, okay. So, you know, I'm playing him and everything like that. He's like, hey, Gunsage, this is how you go ahead and get the points really quickly on Modern Warfare 2. You play this mode. And we start talking about different stuff. And then a couple of days later, it's like, happy birthday to me. I just turned 11. I'm like, holy shit. Because this kid's like cursing up a storm every time he's playing. And okay, fine, because he's 11. But he's actually good at the game too. So I'm like, so given these terminologies, how could he be defined? Is he hardcore for being young? Or is he still casual because he doesn't have a gaming history? I think he's just personally a gamer. So, I don't know.
You want to see me become, you kids get off my fucking lawn. Yeah, it's these little tool sheds that start calling one franchise that they're madly in love with a ripoff of another when in actuality they're all ripping off Doom and Quake. Oh, you know, man. I mean, it's like, really, Sparky? Oh, look, you can name a character from a game from 1997 when you were just sperm in your father's ball sack. How fucking wonderful for you. It doesn't mean you're fucking harder core than I am, or I'm more harder core than you. Like I said, I summed it up in my first rant. If you play video games and you love video games, then you're a gamer. You're not hardcore, you're not casual, and I don't give a fuck. I can't believe you have an 11-year-old in your games list, you fucking pedophile.
That scares me.
Now we see how he beats the shit out of people so easily. He's playing with fucking 10-year-olds.
Catch a predator.
Chris Matthews would like to have a word with you.
Yeah, I'll be in party chat, and suddenly it'll say, such and such, join your party. It'll be like, have a seat over there. You see my character go over, squat down.
And then a 6-foot pipe's inserted in his ass. Most of the people on my friends list are friends of friends.
Yeah.
Like that I started with. Like most of them are, like there's a few that are buddies of Alan's. There's some that are buddies of Patrick's. And then some guys I met at, you know, Destructoid and through Jim and shit like that. So
this guy was from the RPG forum, which you are supposed to be at least 13 before you go ahead and join up. But there's a couple of guys that get around that because you don't actually, it's not exactly like they're doing a voice test or anything.
So. Well, not only that, but isn't it the standard forum thing where you go, I agree that I'm above 13? Yeah,
exactly.
Come on. Mm-hmm. A 5-year-old can fucking click on that and sign up. I mean, it's not the best security note to demand.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, any final thoughts on the casual hardcore gamer shtick before we move on to news?
Nah.
Patrick?
No, it's just, as I said, it's dumb. If you're enjoying games, who cares if you're casual or hardcore or whatever defines it? Just have fun.
I just thought of the fucking banner for this week's show, too. While we're doing this, so that's even better. Hardcore my ass. Or Foley is hardcore, one of the two. That's all I'm gonna do. You haven't fallen off a 35-foot fucking cage. It's actually only 20 feet, but still a long ways to fall. okay, let me dig up the news stories and we will move on to news. Patrick, why don't you do the Virtual Boy Part 2 story. I gotta stop calling it that.
Virtual Boy 2? There we go, this one?
Yeah, the one you sent me.
Okay, big news from the world of Nintendo. Very big news. Got this information, it's all over the place. I mean, officially, it's from Nintendo. We have an article here from Kotaku, or however the hell you pronounce that site, I keep forgetting. Nintendo announces new hardware. The Nintendo 3DS. At E3, Nintendo will be introducing new hardware, the Nintendo 3DS. In an official release, Nintendo describes the portable as allowing games to be enjoyed with 3D effects without the need for any special glasses. It's not known yet how the 3D effects will work, but it's possible that it could work like a Japanese-only DSiWare game, okay? According to Nintendo, the product will go on sale in the next fiscal year, which starts in April and ends in March 2011. Goes on, you know, I'm not gonna go through the entire article here, but basically what they're saying is this is not a new or a different version of the existing DS. It's all new hardware. It is the next generation DS. A lot of people are saying it's gonna be high definition. It's going to be GameCube caliber graphics. It's going to have improved online. It's going to have multi-touch. The original DS only has one touch, one point of touch. And of course, the big thing, the catch here, is the 3 at the beginning and the supposedly 3D graphics that no one's quite sure how they're going to be doing this without glasses. So that's pretty much the gist of it. What do you guys think about this announcement?
Go, Gunsage.
Well, as far as the threads off of Kotaku, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think that it'll be something interesting at the very least. I'm not really sure how it's going to be 3D without the whole 3D glasses or whatever. I guess it's going to be, what, like multi-layered or whatever as far as the screens or something?
As far as that is, there's a couple different speculations. I looked into it. One is the digital head tracking, which I don't know if you ever saw that dude that Chinese guy who was on the internet, and he reversed the Wiimote. He had the camera, or he had the Wiimote pointed at you and the sensors on his eyes, right? And basically what it does is it gives a pseudo 3D image. Now, don't imagine it as a hologram, right? Imagine it as three dimensionals into the screen, not out of the screen. So that's one way they're thinking. And then you're right about that multi-layer thing is another one. But yeah, the point is nobody really knows yet.
It's kind of cool. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it just to see how they're going to pull it off. Because, I mean, personally, if the Virtual Boy had been designed a little bit better, like, you know, lighter, not so freaking bright right in your eyeballs, and with more than one collar, it actually would have been a pretty interesting system, because I had about 9 games for it, and they were all pretty innovative. Like, you know, some were a little more innovative than others. One was just like fucking pinball. But for the most part, they tried to use as much, you know, of the technology as possible. So, like in Wario Land, you can go into the background, the foreground. Well, it doesn't sound too impressive until you realize you're fucking jumping into the foreground and the background, and it looks like he's coming right at you and like jumping away out of the screen. It's kind of freaking awesome. So, especially if you're done on a portable system where you're not going to have your face glued right to the fucking thing, that could definitely be interesting.
I don't really care, to be quite honest, because I don't. The only handheld I want, and it's because of sheer laziness, is an iPod Touch, because then I can just download it off my computer. I don't have to have carts and bullshit and all a bunch of other crap.
Yeah.
But I'm a little curious why they bothered, although Patrick had one good idea, I'm a little curious why they bothered with a DSi XL if they're just going to release this hardware. Now, Patrick said it's because that's aimed at old people, but actually a lot of the gaming writers and stuff I follow on Twitter were pretty excited about the DSi XL. So it's a little curious to me why they're all of a sudden hopping out with this 3D handheld. But I will say this. I give Nintendo a better chance of succeeding with this than I do with Sony and their 3D scam.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I saw about this that amused me was Jim said the 3D port, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, Jim Sterling said on Twitter, the 3D portion of this will be Miyamoto popping up like a pop-up book. To which I responded, and he will pop up and have a pre-recorded phrase, "Thank you for your money," and then he'll pop back down. So, Other than that, I think they got a good chance of actually doing something with it. Especially, I hadn't heard about the WiiWare thing, and if you've seen the videos of what that guy did, with the Wiimote, yeah, that might end up being pretty good. As I said, I'm lazy, don't want to worry about cartridges and crap, so neither the PSP or the DS has ever really been a huge important thing to me. But we'll see. I think we'll know a little more and be able to speculate a little more when E3 comes around, I think, you know, because they'll have it there. Patrick, did you have any thoughts on it?
Yep. That guy I was talking about that was doing that head tracking thing, it's interesting because you know where he is now? He's working on Project Natal. Microsoft saw him on YouTube and hired him to go work on Project Natal. But I'm actually, you know, very excited about a new DS system. I'm not very excited about the 3D, you know, part of the 3DS. I'm excited about a new DS. I mean, you know, the next, I don't mean the next version of the existing hardware, right? But an all new DS2. So the DS is one of my favorite game systems of all time. It's fun, it's innovative, it's got a great library of games. So when I heard news of this 3DS, I was pretty happy. You know, a more powerful version of my favorite handheld. You know, yes, please. You know, I'm worried about the 3D, but you know, if the 3D doesn't work, if the 3D is a gimmick, well, at least you still have a much more powerful version of the original, you know, the original DS. So it's really a no-lose situation. There's really two ways that it could go, you know. Number one, a total disaster, right? 3D doesn't work at all, and it's a gimmick, and maybe it hurts our eyes, much like the other 3D disaster Nintendo had, right? Okay, so what? You know, we still have GameCube graphical multi-touch new DS machine. Developers will just say, screw the 3D, we're just gonna make GameCube quality games, right? They, developers will just ditch the 3D gimmick and continue making cool new games, you know? Gamers haven't really lost anything. Enjoy the, you know, the high definition graphics. You know, the second way it could go is the 3D will actually work. You know, I'm skeptical. I think we're all skeptical about it. And, you know, it will be more than just a gimmick and it'll be fun. So, yeah, the way I look at it, it can't go wrong here. The DS is a cool little system. And if the 3D works, great. If it doesn't, well, I've got, you know, my DS Advance, so to speak.
You brought up a point just to close this out that I thought was interesting. Yeah, if the 3D gimmick blows up, at least they've got other stuff to fall back on built into the hardware. So that, like I said, at E3 when they roll it out, it's supposedly going to be playable according to rumors. We'll see. And then in our next story, kind of an interesting note. I don't know if this has gone past the rumor phase, but I've seen it all over the place. Microsoft planning external hard drive support. Basically, what you need to know is at some point this spring, Microsoft's going to start allowing access to USB hard drives. You know, like thumb drives, stuff like that. Right now, they're basically, the only thing I'm reading here is that it'll have a 16 gigabyte cap, mostly so they don't run themselves out of the market for, you know, big hard drives. I'm kind of for this, you know, if I can put my gamer tag and other stuff that I don't want to lose in a hard drive crash on like a thumb drive or something like that. The only thing that concerns me and that I'll add to this story is the fact that I'm a little afraid that you're going to have to buy your thumb drive from Microsoft. I can't just plug in one of the 10 I got laying here. And do it that way. What do you gentlemen think about that?
That would definitely be awesome if you go ahead and plug in your own thumb drives, because hey, like you were saying, I got a couple laying around too, just because I had used them at work or wherever, and I could definitely use some more hard drive space cheaply.
That
was about it.
So year four, this is, do you think that they're going to, make you buy it from them?
They'll probably do that, unfortunately, which I understand why. I mean, that way they can cash in on it, but, you know, it'd be nice if they would just, you know, bite the bullet and say, okay, whatever, just, I don't care. Hook it up. Don't care. Go ahead and just buy your own shit. So,
Patrick, what are your thoughts on the impending? One thing I forgot, I do deeply apologize, is supposedly this is all going to occur with a firmware update.
Mm.
That's how this will all get accessed. Now with that out of the way, Patrick, what do you think about the whole deal?
Well, definitely, you know, with all the new things that they've done, the new HD movies, downloading, all these demos. I mean, how many demos are available now? You know, game videos, Xbox Live Arcade, yada yada. There is a lot of stuff on the Xbox 360 if you want to fully enjoy the entertainment capabilities of the machine that you'll need to download And not everyone has the big massive hard drives, and even they get filled up, so I think it's a pretty good idea. You know, it will really allow gamers to take advantage of the movie downloading services and all the things that I was talking about. You know, like I'm saying, and like you guys are speculating, the only problem here is that I have a sneaking suspicion with you guys that it'll only be compatible with, you know, Microsoft hardware. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
My hope is on that aspect, you remember how for probably since launch, until just about 6 months ago, you could buy aftermarket memory cards. They didn't really catch up to that market and firmware it out until about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yep.
I'm hoping that's what happens. Considering how most big gaming companies and software companies are, they never learn when they fuck up before trying to close a loophole in the cash cow. I'm kind of hoping that that's what happens. For maybe a year, we'll be able to just stick any thumb drive we want in there and, you know, use it that way. And actually, they would be smart. I just thought about this when you said the movie service, you know, Netflix, they would be smart to go ahead and let you use your own thumb drive, because if you buy it from Netflix on your Xbox 360 and then want to watch it on your laptop, or I think even some TVs have USB ports now, don't they?
Probably.
Yep.
I think they do, some of the bigger ones. They'd be smart to let you put it on whatever thumb drive you wanted, so you bought it from Netflix, which keeps Netflix happy and giving Microsoft money, and then you move it to your laptop where you have Netflix, or your TV where you have Netflix or whatever. So, but we'll have to wait. As is stated in the article, it's just a rumor now, and like you guys, I have a sneaking suspicion we're going to be forced to buy the Xbox 360 thumb drive.
Yeah.
It's so much better than the... it's so much better than a normal thumb drive. Well, I mean, thumb drives are getting to the point, like, I'm not kidding you, I probably got 4 or 5 of them around here, and they're giving away show promos. Like, when I go to egg shows and stuff, they're giving away, like, keychains. You just knock the keychain fob off of it, you got a 4-gig thumb drive. Let's go ahead and do this story next, and Gunsage, you can read it, since it's right up your alley.
What? Which one is it?
The one that I just
popped
up. Oh,
the pay-for-play. Yeah, I saw this. Pay-for-play female gaming service set to launch. Guys looking for a female to game with are in luck, as long as they have a few bucks. A new service called Game Crush is launching today and boasts a roster of around 1,200 available ladies to game with, reports IGN. Guys, called players, can browse online profiles of the girls, dubbed playdates, who can set their moods to flirty or dirty. 825 will buy you 500 credits or enough with tip for a 10-minute Xbox Live session. The same fee will buy you 6 minutes of play in a flash-based casual game for the PC, which is embedded in the Game Crush website. Price is higher for the PC because the girls will have video chat with the player while the game goes on versus the audio-only Xbox Live service. The service is limited to those 18 years of age, blah, 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 blah. And they get to keep 60% of the money that they bring in. Okay, so it's more like Game Pimp. And you got the really ugly girls going ahead and doing the Xbox Live one. So, yeah.
did you just say
you wanted to do the really ugly one?
There are people wanking off while they look at me.
Well, that's true.
Your wife wants to sign up to do the Xbox Live one. That's
great. Well, we'll have to go ahead and look up the information, won't we? Jesus Christ.
So are you, as a married gentleman, let's just say for a second you were single, would this be up your alley, or are you going to save your money to buy more arcade cabinets?
This is probably one of the most pathetic ideas ever. Don't get me wrong. The idea of a gamer chick is the same as the nerdy girl. It's always one of those, you know, almost borderline fetishy type deals where it's like, a girl that likes to game? And then I start thinking about it, I go, okay, it doesn't matter. It really fucking doesn't. I mean, if she's a girl that likes to game and she's actually good at it, fine. I don't come across a whole lot of them. I really don't, unless they just have their mics off. But
they usually do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, because I started thinking about, I'm like, okay, yeah, it is a male-dominated industry, but at the same time, statistically speaking, you would think at least at some point you would be coming across some of them in Modern Warfare 2. You just wouldn't hear them, because they don't want to be harassed by the never-ending field of penises.
That's generally the case. I've noticed when we were playing on Modern Warfare 2 a lot, I'd see a couple that were, you know, their gamer tag giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
Two things I noticed about the sample I saw in Modern Warfare. They always appeared offline. and you never heard them speak. And it's self-defense. I'm not saying they're being, doing anything wrong. It's self-defense.
Well, absolutely. And I completely empathize with that because, I mean, there's like literally one verified girl on my gamer list. That's it. In fact, I am fairly certain that two of the gamers on my gamer list, they share it with their wife because they were originally male avatars. Now they're female avatars. So I'm looking at it going, either they swing both ways or, you know.
They could be trainees. You never know.
Something.
Patrick, what are your thoughts on the game horror, game prostitute fucking business?
What was that noise I just heard? Ultimate loser achievement unlocked.
The biggest loser achievement.
Wow. Like, seriously, a pay-per-play service on both Xbox Live and PC where gamers are going to pay to play video games with girls for up to 10 minutes? I mean, seriously, if I was ever going to pay for a woman to quote-unquote play with me, I'm sure as hell it wouldn't be a video game joystick that she'd be holding. I can think of other things that a lady would be doing for me if I was going to actually pay for it. You know, do they think
making
that
sandwiches?
Gamers, what's that?
Making sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly.
Channeling Dan Mann, I see.
I mean, do they think that male gamers are all a bunch of awkward virgins who don't do anything other than play games at home, locked in the bloody basement? I mean, that they're going to be willing to pay for 10 minutes of chat time in party mode while playing Call of Duty? I mean, wow, I don't know. I guess, there might be a market for very lonely guy gamers who want to waste their money on party chat. You know, I guess why not provide the service? Problem here is most girls, well, they suck at video games. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. So what you have here is a partner to play video games with that will screw up your game and cause you to die all the time while babbling in your ear, you know? And then you gotta pay for that. No thanks.
Yeah. We already get that for free with Carlos.
Oh yeah.
Hey, maybe he's gonna sign up. He's gonna be on there. As the voice.
I was playing Hearts one time and a girl gamer was at the table and everything, and there were a couple of dudes that were blatantly hitting on her. I'm just like, okay, I'm playing the game, I don't care. Didn't even have my headphone on, just, you know, playing the game. And fucking, she was one of the worst fucking Hearts players I've ever come across. Now, part of it may have been maybe she was distracted. You know, come on. There's two dudes constantly hitting on her. And I'm sitting there like, okay, whatever, let's move on. I'm pretty good with Hearts anyway. You're fucking shit at this. But on the same token, she started getting upset because I kept kicking her ass every round. And I'm like, really? Really? You are definitely supporting the female community as far as gamers. Just horrible.
Here's the thing. First off, Patrick, I tend to think that there's more lonely basement dwellers who have never been within 50 feet of a girl than you do. But that does not mean we all are. But second, this to me is just like a strip club. Why do I want to pay for something that if I go to a bar on Friday night and lower my standards enough, I can get it for free and not have to worry about video games? I don't see any point to this. I do find it amusing that they're claiming the PC version will be more expensive because, you know, you have video chat. No, they're going to have it be more expensive on PC to pay for the girls' counseling after seeing some of these ugly fat bastards that show up on their cameras. That's why it's more expensive on the PC. I don't know. I saw this story and I probably laughed for 5 straight minutes. I give it, and you gentlemen can put in your death pool number, I give it no more than 6 months and it's toast. Do you guys see it lasting very long, either of you?
Well, honestly, now chat roulette's free, right?
Yeah.
Okay, from a purely entertainment value, it would be great to get like some kind of web capture device on and go ahead and hop on there with just like a picture of your dick with like googly eyes on it or some shit. Just to get their immediate reactions and be like, hey, baby, wanna play Guitar Hero? Or something like that. Just to see her fucking response. Just to see what she would do. But, yeah, beyond that, if somebody seriously takes this service seriously, I will lose my shit.
Patrick, how long do you think it'll last?
Who knows? Probably not very long. I mean, 10 minutes for about $9 seems like a lot of effort, you know? Why not just go to a porn site or something if they're sitting at home anyways? Maybe 6 months. I mean, who knows?
Well, I can tell you I'm not going to be checking in with their site to see how long they last. That's how little I care. Well, like Gunsay just put in the chat, it's like, dude, why do you want to pay for the service when if you're lonely and single, internet porn is free?
Yep.
He used to say that all the time on Station Nation when stories like this would come up. Hey, you can find enough free internet porn to keep you well happy. That, a bottle of Jergens, you're good.
Yep.
And a towel. Don't forget the towel.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Thank you. That was exactly what popped into my head, was tally when I said that. Actually, our last story is going from quasi-internet prostitution to EA prostituting themselves. This story comes to us from Game Industry Biz, and basically, the gist of it is, EA is going to be releasing what they're now calling P-DLC. In a nutshell, you're going to pay $10 to $15 for a game that's the length of Battlefield 1943. And their hope is that if you get to play a little longer demo, the length of Battlefield 43, that when the full title is released, you'll buy it. It's basically a marketing hook. It's just basically EA trying another marketing swing. I have some thoughts on it, but Gunsage, why don't you tell us what you think of the PDLC idea?
So is it going to be kind of like what they're doing with Fable 2 now, or is it just going to be like what actual parts of the game or something that's just basic downloadable content, but they release it early? Because I wasn't quite understanding what it was right offhand.
They didn't make that clear, whether it's going to be a part of the game that you'll then play in retail or a wholly separate experience to get you ready for retail. I didn't really see anything in here. It says right in here. I'm not sure if the package product will be the PDLC or not, so okay. You still can't answer that question. However, the idea is that if PDLC gets favorable reviews, it will build word of mouth for the box product. But conversely, if the PDLC has issues,
yeah,
they can tweak the package product to address those issues, improving the final product before release, which kind of means you're going to be a beta tester whether you want to or not.
Well, here's what I think then. Whatever happened to the days of shareware? Are you fucking kidding me? Basically, it's a beta version of the game, if that, and you're going to pay for it? There's no sense in that. Again, that's if that's what it really is. If it's more of an episodic thing, that could actually be interesting only because, let's say, for example, Mass Effect 3 is only episodic. Downloadable content, all of it. Okay, it could end up costing a pretty good amount, but ultimately what it comes down to is, yeah, but you would get the experience that much quicker, you know, and then maybe once the whole thing is done, they could do sort of like what they did with, like, Sam and Max, release the whole season, you know, something of that nature.
Right.
Could work. Could work in that vein. I'm just worried that if they want to do a bunch of fancy stuff like, oh, we're going to work on a new engine, this, that, and the other, it's not really going to mitigate the problem. It's not really going to help it out. You're going to still have a Final Fantasy 13 issue where, okay, yeah, but it's going to take forever even for the first episode to come out. Or you're going to notice such a radical difference between each episode that there are going to be bugs and issues. So, if they're not really planning on updating an engine or something of that nature, episodic content could be pretty nice. But other than that, no, leave it to fucking shareware.
I don't think it's, just to clear it up, I don't think it's going to be episodic. I think it's just going to be a long-form demo.
But then why pay for it?
Well, it depends, and we may answer that question, because Patrick and I talked about this a little bit the other night. Patrick, why don't you give us your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm with Gunsage in a way. I'm a little confused exactly as to what they're talking about. And, you know, Gunsage beat me to the punch. I was going to say, well, hasn't id Software been doing this with Doom for a hell of a long time? It could work, but the details I'm not 100% sure about. Now, are you going to get a refund end when you get the boxed game? Or, like, I don't quite understand this. So if I paid for the preview of this game and it cost me $10, right? And I like this game so much that I go buy the box version a month later or 2 weeks later when it comes out, do I somehow get a reward for doing this? Because I don't quite understand why, as Gunsage said, why would you pay for something, you know, twice? Why would you be a beta tester and pay for it? It could work, but I think I need more details about it. You seem to know more about this, or maybe grasp the concept a little better there, Bruce, so let us know. But right now I'm thinking, you know, it seems a bit weird.
Here's the thing. You guys kind of skimmed over the story before the show. They're really kind of unclear on what's going on. If they're going to do a shareware-esque thing where you get a code, say you get a code that you write down or can print out or something, to take the GameStop when you buy the full copy, then I could see this working. I think I could see it maybe going into the episodic content like Gunsage is talking about, aspect of it, but I think more than anything, it's just going to be a long-form demo, and if they give you $10 off the full retail copy when, you know, if you buy the demo, then I could see this working and gamers love it, because then you'll get to play a little longer and get a true sense of whether you're going to like the game or not. Because I passed on a few games, both PC and Xbox, where the demo just didn't really do it for me, but then went back when they were like $10 or $15, played them and went, wow, the demo really didn't know what the hell it was talking about. But for me, I think it's all going to hinge on, am I going to have to pay for this twice? Like you were talking about, Patrick. Because if I don't get any kind of discount, then screw it. I'm not paying for the PDLC, you know, on a title that I want to buy retail. Did that kind of clear up your question, Gunsage, that you were discussing there?
Not really. I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is, even if it's a really well put together demo, it's still a demo. Why should I have to pay for any demo? I mean, I don't care if it gives me a discount off the game or not. If I end up not liking the demo, I'm $10 out at that point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So that's why I'm like, really? Is this what we're going to go ahead and shift toward now? So there's this Just Cause 2 demo out now that I haven't even tried yet, and I would be more than willing to try it. I just, you know, need to clear up some hard drive space. But if that was a paid demo, I'd go, you know what? No, I'm going to go ahead and wait till it comes out and rent it. Fuck it. You know, there'd be no point anyway, especially since it's an action title.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This is all coming from Michael Pratchard, who was in a some kind of meeting or financial call. Yeah, and so he's a damn financial analyst. You know, even if he had details, they're writing off of what he's talking about. So I think they're going to have to clear it up. I look at it this way. I might give it a shot on one game if there is a discount. Now, if it allows me to play, like, let's say one whole level. Let's say it's a shooter, and it allows me to play, like, one whole level, like the first level, where there's no real, you know, super crazy story aspects to it usually. It's usually just getting you comfortable with the game. They want $10 for that, and I can play it single player, and I can play it multiplayer, and then I get a $10 discount on the game. I could see myself doing it to a certain extent, but for the most part, like Gunsage said, if it's just a long demo, why do I want to pay for that? We'll see. I'm sure as E3 comes strolling into view, we'll have more details on this. But EA is searching for a way to make, well, obviously to make more money, but I think ultimately they're searching for a way to put a dent in the used market or draw just more people to their company overall. And I don't see this going over very well, but I'm not going to pass total judgment until I see more details. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, or are you good?
Well, if they really, I mean, if they're trying to go ahead and put a dent in the used gaming market, really the best way to do that would be just to go ahead and release episodic content. That way, the people that, like me, that only have the 20 gig hard drives, where I can barely keep jack shit on there, I can go ahead and play one episode. Maybe it's like a gig, you know, and then I beat the game. Well, I beat the episode, rather. I get my save data. The save data is able to go ahead and be transferred, imported, and whatever. So then I can go ahead and kill off the actual game file itself, but keep the save file. Next time the episode comes around, bam, bam, bam. go ahead and load that up, and I'm good to go. If I want to continue playing, if I don't like it that much, then okay, I don't have to keep downloading the episodes, you know?
Right. Patrick, any final thoughts?
Well, Gunsage beat me to it again. He has another good point. You know what? Once again, we don't know the details of this. We could be wrong. But when you're talking about, okay, you're going to pay $10, the way we seem to understand it, at least for now, let's say it's $10, and you play this really, really big demo. It's bigger than a regular demo. But then what if it turns out you don't like the damn game? Are you going to get a $10 refund? You're not going to go buy the full title. So whatever benefit you get, whatever, you know, code, whatever discount, maybe whatever extra DLC for free in the future, none of that matters because you don't like the game and you just paid for a long demo, which would be, you know, a kick in the nuts for most people. Like unless there's something we're missing here, when Gunsage mentioned that and the whole shareware used to do this for free, right? An entire episode of Doom for free. I really don't like the idea. Yeah, but again, maybe when details come in, it will make more sense for me.
I think ultimately, and we've talked about this on at least one previous show, to me, this is kind of just hinting that to tell you the truth, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he put less time on it than I did. I think we're probably 5 to 10 years from no more physical copies, if that. I think that's just where it's trending. It's easier for the companies to put out, less worry about piracy and all that mess. You know, I don't know. Like Patrick said, I'm kind of blah about it, but I'll just wait until details come out and see what happens. If this was Valve, you know, the funny thing is I will admit a little bit of bias. If this was Valve, I might be a little more receptive, but it's EA, so I'm leery at best when EA starts talking about stuff like this. Okay, well, that was pretty much it for the news. And for those of you that listened to every episode, hey, we really didn't have any shooter news. We didn't bitch about Halo. We didn't bitch about COD. I want you to give us a round of applause for that, damn it. Mostly because there was no news about it. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm here all week. Try the squirrel nuts. let's move on to Gamer Dick. Unsage, do you have any dicks for this week?
Oh, let me see. I really didn't play a whole lot online. I was hoping that more people would have hopped into the gamer room already, but that's just me being impatient. Okay, you know what? I changed my mind. I am going to go ahead and call out the one dude for being a gamer dick.
Okay.
The one 11-year-old.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay.
Go for it, you kid fiddler.
Yes. The reason why I'm annoyed with this guy is because he's done this same thing before, but with an entirely different game. He went ahead and did an invite to party for Modern Warfare 2, and I'm thinking, you know what? I haven't even bothered going ahead and hopping in that one for a while. I really haven't played with him on anything. I kind of blew him off the last time he did it, so yeah, let's go ahead and give it a shot. Let's see what he's, you know, let's see if he's any good, and you know, all that. So I hop in there, and I'm in a mode that I don't even recognize. It's like Search and Destroy or something. You get, I guess, one life, and then you have to wait for a respawn for next round or whatever, and I'm like, I'm trying to go ahead and, you know, humor him, give him benefit of the doubt, play with him, everything like that, but then the party gets all fucked up. I try to go ahead and hunt him down again, and we're in another map where there's all kinds of deliberate glitch hacks going on, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And they're like, oh yeah, it's a lag mod, and I'm like, okay. And I went ahead and fucking left. And the reason it annoyed me so much is because I'm like, well, that's 5 minutes I'm not getting back. We literally barely finished a game of Search and Destroy. Party got fucked up. And then we went ahead and got moved into an entirely different area where they were willingly doing these fucking glitch hacks to the point you couldn't even play it normally. So I'm like, this is basically the epitome of the kind of gamer that I hate. They go around to these different areas deliberately just, you know, experience hunting for power leveling. I mean, he literally asked me, why are you only level 40 something? I'm like, because I barely play this game. When I do, I just play Team Deathmatch. So, you know, and I'm just like, really? Really? I don't give a fuck. This is retarded. So I don't know.
So he invited you in on the premise that you would enjoy their band of hijinks.
Yeah.
Because shitstick his age don't think of it is cheating.
No.
Which, as I wrote a couple months back, they're full of shit and are cheating, the fuckers.
The other annoying aspect, this had happened once before, not with him, but when I was playing Team Fortress 2 on the Xbox. I'm walking along in this map, and then I go ahead and jump with a heavy, and I'm like, why the fuck am I 30 feet off the ground now?
No clip.
It was some kind of, like, moon jump hack or some shit. I'm like, what in the fuck is this? And they're like, oh, it's the one jumping hack. and there were a couple of people that had like some kind of retarded black invincibility shit going on and stuff. I'm like, what? Come on, just play the goddamn game. Seriously. So, I don't know. It gets to the point where I cannot stand playing with some people because that's how they play. They play to cheat. Everyone has an understanding that everybody's cheating one way or the other. It's the same thing that started happening with the, what was that game called? It was an online, multiplayer flash game where you played as a bunch of stick men and killed each other. It was pretty fun, actually, but yeah, Stick
Arena. Oh, yeah. Stick Arena, I remember that.
And it was fun for a while, but then everybody started cheating. So if you didn't know how to cheat, then it wasn't fun anymore. So you'd get someone like me that between calls of work when it was really fucking dead, I go ahead and hop on there and everybody's cheating. And so I leave the room, I go to a different room, everybody's cheating. Leave the room, go to a different, everybody's fucking cheating. And you can report them as much as you want. It doesn't matter. Nobody's doing anything about it. So, I don't know. It just got retarded after a while.
You're basically calling out a gamer dick to the junior mafia member on your friends list and anybody who thinks status quo is basically hacking and cheating.
Pretty much.
Fair enough. Patrick, do you have anybody?
Yeah, I don't have a specific gamer tag, but I do have kind of a dick. I was playing Perfect Dark online, and as I mentioned, they have GoldenEye maps, a few GoldenEye maps on there. With the GoldenEye weapons, the closest we're going to get to playing, well, GoldenEye with Nintendo being jerks and not letting it out on, what you would call it, on Xbox Live. So I'm playing it, and there is, a decent group of people. I think there were all eight people were playing, and some people, they're using their voice chat, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. This is GoldenEye. I remember this level. This is great. Whatever, and that's cool. They're excited about playing an old GoldenEye level. And then there's this one guy who's pretty darn young, I don't think he played the original game on the N64. And he's like, what do you mean this is great? This sucks. The controls are no good. Oh, I'm dying, and he was in last place, and he was just terrible. Basically, he's playing the wrong game, right? I mean, if you're a kid and you want to play an online shooter, you're going to play Modern Warfare 2, you're going to go play Halo 3 or ODST, right? I mean, and he really pissed us off so much that, number one, he sucked, so that's why he said the game was so bad. And number two, he's like, oh, the graphics, oh, why is it so slow, blah, 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 right? And I was like, kid, it's an N64 game, that's why. It wasn't even designed for online multiplayer, So he's a bit of a gamer dick, if you don't want to play a game and you don't like it, quit the game. Don't complain about it and don't say how a game two generations later that was built for online is so much better than an arcade game that was from the N64 that wasn't meant to be online. So, I don't remember the gamer tag because I, got this kid annoyed, but, he's a gamer dick, that's for sure.
You know what's funny is that same little shit stick probably went back to his other little band of shit stick. Well, yeah, dude, I played that retro game, fucking Perfect Dark. It was great. man, I was feeling really retro. Yeah, bullshit, a little cocksucker.
More like he was feeling really rut-ro.
Yeah, more like he was feeling really bent over. You know what? Something Gunsage said popped into my head. You know what I think we're going to have to eventually end up doing, Gunsage? Well, I played on a Quake server way back in the day with my cousin when I first had the internet. Dial-up, hand crank. I mean, we were out there uphills in the snow both ways, mm-hmm. The whole and shtick. They had a cheat-only night on this server where no clip, where you could fly, wall hacks, the whole nine yards. But you knew that's what it was.
Yeah.
For the entire night, from like, let's say, 3 p.m. Pacific to midnight Pacific, it was cheating. And it was a riot. It was blast because they'd tell you when you were loading up. You remember the old load-up screen for Quake?
Mm-hmm.
Or Quake 2, excuse me, Quake 2.
Oh, even better, yeah.
They told you how to do it. And the cheats were already enabled, so you just hit no clip, you're flying, you're going through, you're standing on the roof. Hey, dickhead!
Yep.
I think that maybe it's time, since you're not going to stop the trend, there's all these little shithead 10 to 20-something-year-olds, not all, but a majority, who seem to think that this is the only way you power level. This is the only way you get to elite status.
Who gives a fuck about power leveling in a first-person shooter?
Right, but my point is it... I don't think they're going to go away, so maybe it's just time Microsoft and Xbox looked into making them their own level. Look, you want to go do it here. Here's a game type. It's called Douchebags and Dickhead Cheaters. You go over here.
Douchebags and Dickheads.
You know, I mean, I don't like the concept because I'd rather not have any cheating fucktards on my video game consoles.
Yeah.
Period. But maybe that's the solution. I don't like it, but maybe that's the solution. Just make a room, you know, like hardcore team deathmatch where you die in one shot and you don't get some of the little gadgets and map and stuff. Just make it a match type and then make the bans and suspensions longer, i.e. permanent, Microsoft, you fuckheads, if you get caught screwing around in a regular game type. Then those of us, people who actually have a set of ethics and just want to play the game for entertainment, not so we can be, woohoo, I'm elite. I don't give a fuck if you're elite. I just shot you at 500 yards away with a sniper rifle. Yeah, you're really elite. Your fucking cranium is a melon, you dumb bastard. You know, but it's just a thought I had.
You know, be fun would be to mod Modern Warfare 2 so that, like, let's say you're in the derailed match and it's called survival mode, death from above. And all it is, there are no weapons. All you can do is constantly drop care packages.
And you have to kill each other's care packages?
Yep.
I don't know. It's like I've told you guys this story before. That old COD1 server I played on, if you whined, cheated, or bitched too much, they would reskin you as Cartman. You moved like him, and the Special Olympics Cartman. You moved like him, you shot like him, you only got a pistol.
That's nice.
You were so easy to kill. All these guys in green fatigues and this one little orange dude with a blue bicycle helmet on. Who are you going to shoot first? The little slow fat bastard that can't even get behind the building.
Yep.
You know, maybe do something like that, but they got to come up with some solution. Because, you know, Modern Warfare 2 is catching a lot of shit because there was obviously some holes in that engine. But I saw some no clipping. I saw some wall shooting last night in Battlefield Bad Company 2 it's cheating, but it's because the graphics do tend to break occasionally in Battlefield Bad Company 2. I don't think the guy was like, oh, look, I found a cheat. And speaking of Battlefield Bad Company 2, I don't have a gamer dick, but I have two specific types of gamers I'd like to talk about. First off is the, hey, look, it's 50 snipers and a medic, and we're playing Conquest. Now, Patrick knows I love to snipe, and I think I'm fairly good at it. I won't say I am. That's not for me to decide. But if I see at our original deploy point or one of the map flags we've captured that there's 7 of them and there's only 8 of us on the team, let's say 6 because Patrick's never a sniper, I'll switch to another kit even if I don't want to because it's helping the team.
Yep.
Not only that, but while sniping is a lot easier in Bad Company 2, I don't know what these guys are doing, whether they're looking at each other through the scope because, like, I run off a hill where there's 3 snipers who should be watching out in front of them and get killed by a guy 10 to 20 feet away in the bushes because they didn't see his fucking ass. What?
Nice.
Now, you're not going to see everybody. I understand that. But if there are 3 snipers scanning the area in front of them, you think somebody would have seen you. But just a tip. Just put down the sniper rifle for a little bit, play with a med kit, play with an engineer. I know it's not fun. I love sniping in that game, too. There's nothing better than shooting some dude from halfway across the map and watching his little speaker come on in the team chat. That fucker's cheating. No, I just shot you from a really long far away, you bastard. The second one, and I don't remember his gamer tag because as soon as I saw the little blurb of his message, I just deleted it. If I'm defending a flag, you worthless douchebag, it's not camping.
Nope.
Now, Patrick will know what I'm talking about because last night I stayed in a house the entire looking around, got killed once. And I killed about 9 of them between mortar strikes, pistol shots. I killed one douchebag who was running up the stairs with my sniper rifle off the hip, which is not really easy. Patrick can tell you, they were trying to get me out of there once they figured out I was there. But this wing nut, and I think it was a sniper that finally got me, Patrick, right just as the round ended.
Oh, God.
He was across the street there. Dude, you're camping. You need to stop doing that or I'm going to report you.
Report you for...
All I saw was that. I'm sure there was more, but I just deleted it. I don't need the rage. I didn't want to listen to it, so I didn't I didn't want to read it, so I didn't even bother clicking past that. But it's like, what? We're playing Capture the Flag, you fuckbag. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll steal a line from Penny Arcade. What am I supposed to do? Write the fucking... Go hang out somewhere in the bushes and write the fucking flag a postcard every now and again? Hi, flag. I hope nobody's taking you. I hope things are going well. Love, Bruce. You know, I mean...
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a Penny Arcade comic. Yeah. He was talking about the briefcase and Soldier of Fortune. Look, okay, and some of the other types, actually, really, there, except maybe Squad Deathmatch, there really isn't a game type with camping in Battlefield Bad Company, because you're either trying to defend something or trying to take something. And if you're a sniper who actually pays attention, you can help your teammates, whether through voice, like I'll tell Patrick there's a guy coming, hold up, tank coming, hold up, or by shooting shit from way far away while they're attacking the next capture point. You know, this whole camping bullshit. Yeah, okay, sometimes there is campers, like in Modern Warfare 2, but...
Yeah.
To sit there and call me a camper while I'm defending a flag. You're a fucking gamer dick. I should have been smart enough to write down your damn gamer tag, you douchebag. Okay, well, I hope you people enjoyed the show. Let me give you an email address in case you didn't, or you want to tell us that you did, much like iPinch did. If you know Patrick personally, tell him. Otherwise, send it to morphenation23@gmail.com. morphenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 13, yes, Gunsade says gay, 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 gay. Until episode 13, I am, and always will be, somebody. See ya.
Bye bye.
Or.
Oi. Oi, oi. By the way, your trumpet was pretty good there. I'll give you that. I'll give you a...
Fields are white, the fields are